The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you so much. That is good. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 19 and 20. And the Bible talks about laying not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. It does talk about laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt or thieves break through and steal, as I read just a moment ago. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible talks about how for where your treasure is, present tense, there will, future tense, your heart be also. And I want to speak tonight, and I know we have a give it all next Sunday, and I know many of you are praying and earnestly praying about what God would have you to do, is that one-time sacrificial gift for this year and being able to remodel the auditorium. And I'm praying much about that as well. Matter of fact, in our budget, we're kind of limited, and so we're looking for items to be able to sell so that we'll be able to meet the goal that God has placed on our heart to be able to give a huge amount next Sunday for the remodel of the auditorium. And I know you're praying about that too, but I want to steer away from that a little bit and just give you some common sense ideas about money. Money is a very important thing, and you can't live very long, or you can't go very far if you don't know how to be able to work with money. And so I want to talk about it a little bit, and it's knowing the truth about money. And ask yourself just a couple of questions, if you will, and that is with this: what do you know about money? What do you know about money? Who taught you about money? Have you learned the principles of money? You know, principles of money is earning, and then of course there's spending and giving and saving and investing. And so do you know things that's relatively wise about those areas? Was it in Bible college, or was it in a secular college that you learned about money? Was it your parents that set you down at a young age and began to teach you about the value of money? I'm surprised that after 13 years of education, starting at kindergarten and going through the other 12 years of education, I'm really surprised that when I talk to young people, they know very little about money. They don't know what it's like to balance a checkbook. They don't know what it's like to be able to write out an individual budget. They don't know what it is to be able to know how to set aside funds for saving and how to be able to purchase things on cash and not on credit. And so I'm really, really shocked that when I learn about how many people, as I counsel young couples and as I help them prepare for marriage and as I do some post-marital counseling and being able to go even into the mid-years when it comes to married people having financial struggles and complications, I'm really a little set back by the fact that some just do not know about money. But can I tell you, many schools that I know about, we major on this. We major on teaching math, and we major on teaching science, and we major on teaching history, and we major on teaching phonics, and we major on teaching penmanship and traditional subjects, and we should, but also we need to help young people. And you as a parent, those of you that homeschool, please don't leave out the necessity of learning the basic essentials of handling money. It is very important. You know, in the Bible, we'll see doctrine. We see doctrine, and many people will be able to teach doctrine, and they'll sit down at their family altar time, and they'll teach about Bible doctrine. We did that, and we taught our kids doctrinal things that would help them to be able to make life choices and make them, if dad or mom was to go to heaven. And so we knew that our children would be doctrinally sound. They heard the Bible stories. They learned about the Bible characters, and not only at church, but they learned about them at home, and they learned about them during the family altar time. But did you know that it is important that we also teach our children about how to handle money. You know, some people think that automatically when somebody has a lot of money that they must be selfish and they must be worldly. Certainly, nobody that has a lot of money has a form of godliness in them, so some may think. And they equate being poor with being godly, but may I say that's not a Bible truth whatsoever. If you think about Abraham, Abraham was extremely wealthy, but yet he was called the friend of God. If you think about Job. Job was a very wealthy man, but yet God said he was perfect and upright. He was a perfect and upright man in his sight. So there's nothing that is wrong with somebody having money. There's nothing wrong with somebody using money the right way. There's nothing wrong, and please don't ever get a guilt about having a nice house or having a nice vehicle or having nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. You've earned that. You have a right to have that. But it's when we become obsessed, if you would please, with the love of money. You know, there for every seven verses in the first three Gospels, one of them deals with money. The Apostle Paul talked about this over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And then he says in verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and having food, it says, and raiment, the Bible says, let us therewith be content. So he says, look, understand you just can't carry any of it with you to the grave. Verse 9, the Bible says, him speaking, but after that which is richness he's talking about, they fall, and it uses this terminology, into temptation and a snare. So he said, you have to be careful that you don't fall into a temptation and a snare when it comes to money. Then he goes down, if you will, and he talks about, for the love of money is the root of all evil. In verse 11, in that same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. All right? And so he's saying this. He's saying that you have to be careful that you don't put your central focus on money. When you do, then it becomes the root of all evil. Because God says you're not supposed to love money. We have to make sure as Christians, as God begins to bless us, and may I tell you and remind you that it was the Israelites, and God had blessed them, and God had given to them, and then all of a sudden, they forgot God. Now, may I say, when God has been good to you, don't forget who was good to you. Don't forget that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. You know, he's the one that gives those good things. Sometimes we look at somebody struggling in poverty and we tell them, well, you just need to be content. You need to put your eyes on God. But may I say to those that are affluent tonight, may I say to those that have a degree of wealth tonight that sit in this room, you also need to put your eyes on God. Thank God that God has given you money in the bank. Thank God, God is taking good care of you. Thank God that God saw fit to be able to reward you for your labor, but let's make sure that we always keep our eyes on the Lord. Why? Because the wrong idea about money can destroy you. You can begin to chase the almighty dollar so much that that becomes your God. You can begin to chase things so much that that's all that you live for. And that should not be something that you live for. By the way, once you get a nice house, stay with me, and a car, once you have some nice clothes and you got food to be able to feed yourself, what more do you need? Why not invest the rest of your funds in somebody going to heaven? Why not invest it in getting out gospel tracts? Why not invest it in putting young people on the mission field and underwriting them so they can go out and start a bunch of fundamental independent Baptist churches so that the gospel can be all over the world? Let's not get the wrong concept about that, which is money. You cannot take it with you. May I say, let me give you some ideas about money tonight. There is a right way to earn money. a right way to earn money. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16, the Bible says, he that oppresseth the poor, it says, to increase riches. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And so there's a wrong way to earn money. You ought never to earn money at that which is at the depravity or the hurt or the shame of someone else. You ought never to earn money by stepping on somebody else in order to get to the top. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, if you will, but I'm telling you, we ought to decide that we care about people and we love people and we want to encourage people and we want people to be inspired to go on to do something for God, but we ought never, never, never just to decide that we're going to just get a bunch of money. Hey, can I tell you, young people, there's more to life than getting a fancy car, and there's more to life than having a fancy suit of clothes. There's somebody that's going to die. There's somebody that's going to go to hell. There's somebody that needs your help. And once you get those things that you think that you ought to have, don't you put God behind. You decide to put God first and keep God first, because one day your life will be over. I'm saying tonight that there is a right way to earn money. Don't earn it the wrong way. Statement number two, money is a tool to honor God. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool like a shovel. It's a tool like a mattock. It's a tool like an axe. It's a tool. Now, if God has given you a tool, watch it. If God's thought so highly of you as being a faithful steward and he has given you the tool, don't you think he expects you to use it the right way? So God has placed some tools in your life. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16, listen to it again. He that oppresseth the poor, it says, to increase riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. You know, that person that is just trying to take advantage of someone else, you have to be careful about. That person that uses money the wrong way not to honor God, also you have to be careful about. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So if God has given you a car, that's a substance, is it not? Now that means you ought to honor God with it. So now I got to ask you a question. The music that you listen to in your car, is that Christ honoring? That's a substance that God gave to you. So is it Christ honoring? God has given you a house. God has given you money. Are you using your money to honor God? The DVDs that you buy, do they have rock music in them? Do they have that which is people undressing in them? Come on, what you put in your mind, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, dad sits there and dad is watching all this garbage, and all of a sudden a young person walks in. And by the way, I am for biblical holiness. The reason that we don't have churches, that people are getting saved and people, our lives are being changed, it is not because that, we're so narrow, they will not come. No, it has to do with the power of God. It has to do with God coming down. It has to do with being yielded to God and let God be true and every man a liar. And I'm telling you that God can bless the church, but we need young people and we need adults that's going to rise up and be holy in the sight of God. He says, be holy even as I am holy. Now, so wait a minute. If it says to honor the Lord with thy substance, then if God gives you something that is substance, then why don't you honor God with that? Not just the funds, but with the substance that you have. Dad sits there and he watches something on television or whatever other type of media that he has pumped into the house, and man, it's got this in it and it's got that in it, and then all of a sudden you wonder why your child doesn't see anything wrong with it. You're allowing that to contaminate. By the way, you wouldn't put up with it. If somebody walked in your living room and they started saying curse words, you would say, pardon me, we don't talk that way at our house. Be quiet or leave. And yet for some reason, there's a brain deadness. Because we do not invite somebody in to do it, but yet we do invite somebody in to do it. Because you bring those things in. Come on. And as you bring those things in, that's just like inviting somebody. Okay, you say, well, it's just on the movie. But if they're undressing on the movie, it's just like them undressing in your living room. And one is just as bad as the other because it's going in the eye gate and somebody's going to think about it. Somebody's going to meditate on it and it corrupts your very soul. I'm saying, why don't we just decide to clean it up? Here it is. We're talking tonight about that which is a tool. God has given you the tool of money. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out, it says, with new wine. So God says this. God says we're supposed to honor him. We're supposed to be the one, if you would please, a sticker on a bumper said this. It says, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's what the sticker said on the bumper. He who dies with the most toys wins. Now, that's a prevalent thought, I'm afraid, that runs through the threads of an American society. Because we begin to think, boy, if I have a bigger and a nicer house, then I am better off. I've got to have the best. I've got to have the biggest. I've got to have the newest. I've got to have the latest. And if I don't have it, then I'm not a success. You are not a success unless you obey God, unless you put God first. Let's get back to old-fashioned living. Let's get back to old-fashioned holiness. Let's get back to putting God first. Hey, whatever happened to the time when you walked through the field and you asked God for his power and you said, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you give me your power. I need your power. I surrender myself to your will. Whatever happened to the old days? Bible says in Luke chapter 12, it says, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Doesn't that sound like today? I'm saying that there's a right way to earn money. Statement number one. Statement number two, money is a tool of God, and it's a tool, if you would please, to honor God. Statement number three, money is a tool to bless others. Just not a tool to honor God, but to bless others. Now, I don't know who you are, but may I say I thank God for you. We had some young couples that came to our couples retreat. I don't know how you found out about it. I don't know who you are. But apparently, you rose up. Young couples that were having some financial difficulties, and you paid their entire way to go to the retreat. May I say, I believe it helped immensely those young couples, not just to fall more in love with each other, fall more in love with God, but understand that others do love and care. That's a heart. That's a heart. God has given you money to be able to bless others. When we used to have, Brother Boko, we used to have missions conferences at our church, and when we have mission conferences at our church, I tell our people, I said, these dear missionaries, when they come in, look at them, watch them, examine them. Look at their sleeves. See if they're worn. Look at their collars. See if they're tanned and tarnished and worn. You know, look at the lady's hair and see if maybe you could be a blessing. But let's not be a church that they walk away in need. We had ladies that were hair beauticians, and whenever we have a missionary conference when I pastored up in Tennessee, they always took care of the ladies' hair. We had two of my good deacons up there that said, hey, preacher, just want you to know, we have missionaries through. I don't want a missionary to leave this church without them receiving a new suit. And took it upon them to be able to buy a suit for those missionaries that came in. No wonder so many missionaries called my office. But may I say, look, it is very important that we understand that money is a tool to bless others. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, the Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance, it says, for his children's children. Who is that? Children's children. That's grandchildren. The Bible says, and the wealth, it says, of a sinner is laid up for the just. Now, so the Bible talks about how it's a tool. Use that tool to be a blessing to your children. Use that tool to be a blessing to others. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 and 28. It says, withhold not good from them, it says, to whom it is due. It said, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. So somebody that you see that needs something, if you have it within your power to be able to do it, sometimes there's some businessmen in our church, and they'll call me up and they'll say, Pastor, what college student is behind on their college bill? And so I'm able to give out a name or so. And of course, now let me inspire you college students. The names that I give out are those that go to Brother Palmore and they're trying. They're trying. In other words, you know, this is somebody saying, man, I really want to be here. I'm going to do everything within my power to stay. I believe this is the will of God. And so please pray with me that God will open. All right. Then all of a sudden, when a businessman rises up and says, hey, look, you know, I've got a little bit of extra money. I'd like to help a college student that's having trouble. All right. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. It's a tool to bless others. There's several people groups that you could be a blessing to. You could be a blessing to God's work. You could be a blessing to God's man. You could be a blessing to your relatives, to your friends, to those that are needy, such as the fatherless and the widows and the blind and the lame and the halt, the deaf. You could be a blessing to those that are in need. You could be a blessing to those that are future generations, buying somebody a little Bible, giving it to them and putting your name in it. They could have it for years to come. Being somebody that puts a little gift up here, as you saw tonight, and put a little gift up here just to encourage somebody. Might only cost you a dollar. Might only cost you 50 cents. Might only cost you $5 or $10 or $15. But you put a gift up here to encourage a college student that's here training for college, away from their mom, away from their dad, living in a lonely dorm. Maybe taking a college student out to eat. Maybe having a college student that cannot go home because of finances for Thanksgiving and saying, I want you to come over to my house for Thanksgiving. Maybe opening your house up at Christmas time. Boy, I tell you, when I was in Bible college, Dr. Nash, the loneliest time in my life was Christmas. I was at Bible college, couldn't go home. I never will forget Charles Schaefer. He was my English teacher. And Brother Schaefer went out of town one year and he said, hey, I'm getting ready to head out of town and I need somebody to come and sit the house and sit the dog. Babysit him. And I said, I always liked dogs. Now, don't get mad at me, but I can't stand cats. But I always liked dogs. Now, and so I said, I'll be willing to do that. And so I went over there and I babysat that dog. Boy, we had fun. That dog ate better than most humans that week. I ran up and down the neighborhood with the dog like a little kid. I took the dog and we went shopping together. We did all sorts of stuff together. Now, wait a minute. But I'm telling you, what was he doing? He was reaching out to a future generation. He was saying, there's a young man here at Bible college, and he's not going to have a place to go over the holiday season. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my home and allow him to be able to come in to get a little bit of peace and a little bit of refreshment. And what a joy that was. You know, sometimes God will use you to use you and your finances to be able to take care of your enemy. Romans chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible says, it says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. So God uses your finances to be able to bless other people. Next statement, think about this. There is power in money, but it's also deceitful. You know, some people will be friends with people that have money and they will skip over trying to be a friend to somebody that looks like they have no money. And then when all of a sudden the money runs out, they're no more their friend. They will hang around them long enough to get a free meal. They'll hang around them long enough to get a free something. And then all of a sudden, when the money disappears, so does the friendship. Money is deceitful. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4 of the Bible says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. You have somebody's living next to you and they're poor. If you're not careful, you'll separate yourself from the poor person. You have somebody else living on the other side of you and they got a boat, they got a motorcycle. You know, when they have the Thanksgiving meal, you know, you can smell it 5 blocks away. If you're not careful, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go over there because they're nice and they say, you can ride my motorcycle anytime you want to. You can take my four-wheeler down the street anytime you want to. If you want to take the boat out, you can take the boat out anytime you want to. But I'm telling you, listen, if that money dries up, are you still a friend? Are you still there for them? Do you love them for who they are, not for what they have? By the way, the older you get, if you're right with God, the more things you have. Come on. The older you get, the more God blesses you, the more God blesses you, the nicer home you live in, the more things that you have. But as a young person, don't look at that and say, I want it now. A lot of young people, they get this wrong ideology, and that is this. That is, if I serve God, I will have nothing. No, that's not true. I know people that make 6 digits a year and they have nothing. It's not in how much you make, it's how much you manage what you make that makes the difference. Is God a part of your financial world? Somebody said you cannot outgive God. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. He said, but when I give it back, I'm going to press it down, it's going to run over. So when you give to God, if you give to him sparingly, then you'll reap sparingly. You know, the big day coming up, can I tell you what that's going to do? That's going to open you up to stretch your faith to a point and to a place where for the first time in your life, you might do something sacrificially so that God can be able to bless your faith only because there's a challenge before you that you would not put before yourself. Now, may I say that there is that which is the power of money, but you got to be careful because it could be deceptive. Hey, come with me and let's drink a cup of coffee together. I'll pay. Sure. Hey, let's go drink coffee together. You want to pay? Well, you know. You've got to be careful that money does not deceive. Statement number one, I'm saying this, that there is a way to earn money that's right and it should be honest. There's a way that God uses money as a tool. There's a way to use that money as a tool to bless others. There's a way that money can be deceptive. I'll just give you two more statements and I'm done. Statement number next, that you can be tempted. You can be tempted to put your trust in money. You can. When you had nothing, you prayed for everything. When you have everything, if you're not careful, you'll pray for nothing. You remember the old car? Remember the old car? Remember that? And you get in the car. I mean, you know, the window is held up by chicken wire. The radiator is held on by chicken wire. And if it wasn't for chicken wire, you would not have a car. You got into it. You prayed, dear God, please help me to make it. I'm only going a mile. But God, please help us to stay together. You go riding down the road. Nobody wants to ride behind you. All the black smoke is coming out. When you take off from the green light, it's and everybody's behind you. Because all the smoke is coming in. You remember that? Hey, you remember when you look forward to going to McDonald's if you saved up enough money to buy off of the dollar menu? Remember that? Man, you thought it was big time. Hey, I'm going to McDonald's. Man, you are. You got that much money? Wow. What are you going to buy? Man, I got $5. I can have a five-course meal. Wow. Now all of a sudden you got money and you go to eat steak. Not a problem. You know, you can get so comfortable. Come on. And by the way, the more comfortable you get with money, the more uncomfortable you get when you don't have what you call your comfortable needs met. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because I was there last Sunday and it was too hot. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because I was sitting in a place and, boy, I tell you, when he started to preach loud, blew me out. They don't have a good quality sound system. Man, I'm not going to go to that church. You ready? Ready? Here we go. Here we go. You ready? One, that row there, on a count of three, I want you to squeak for me. You ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three, go. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because it squeaks. Oh, you can stop now. You're getting too fun. Okay. Now watch. All right. So you know, people are tempted to wrongly trust in their money, their wealth. Here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 15. Says, a rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is his poverty. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. And it says, as an high wall in his own conceit. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. The Bible says, before destruction of the heart, it says, of a man is haughty. And then it says this, before honor is humility. So we have to understand, where does money, how does money come? How does money go? Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 5, you can identify with this. It says here, it says, talking about money, it says, make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So it's here today and gone tomorrow. Isn't that true? Today, Mo, I've got so much money in the bank. Then it's gone. But wait a minute, it comes back, doesn't it? Money, if you're stable and you're working and you're faithful and you learn to budget some things, will always be there for you. All right? And so statement number next, there is no such thing as a get-rich scheme that lasts. Oh, you may have one that's there for a while. Doesn't last. Hello? Preacher, have you ever done it? Have. I have. Pastor friend of mine called me up. He said, man, you need to go to this website. Hey, I did. He said, if you take a little bit of money, you put it in here, the return on that, it's going to be amazing. I did this many years ago, long before I came here. I was in evangelism. And I thought, okay, got a little bit extra money. I'm going to try it. Take a couple $100, put it in there, watch it come. And what it was an investment. You know, you put the investment in, and of course it was going to have the returns like a mutual fund or something like that. And so, but it was going to have the, all right, and started to grow. I thought, man, this is so exciting. Whoa, this is so great. Woo. 3 weeks later, it disappeared. So where did it go? Couldn't find it. It was gone forever. Hello? There is no such thing as easy money. There's not. You know, when you do money the right way, then it's done in reward the right way. Be careful. There is no such thing as a get-rich scheme that lasts. It's not going to last. It would be better, are you listening to me? It would be better put your hands to the plow, dig in, work hard, save. Do things that have been proven over the years. Don't risk things. Invest in that which is godly things. Here we go. You ready? Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So God says, okay, you ready? You've got to be careful about things, making decisions hastily. Okay, you remember Michael Jordan, the basketball player? You remember him? When he went through the divorce, it cost a divorce settlement that he went through $168 million. That's a lot of money. Now, wait a minute. When you go through problems, depending on your sin, it may cost you more. Might cost you money in lawyer fees, might cost you money in counseling fees, might cost you money in paying tickets, might cost you money in medical bills, you might lose money in your gambling addiction, you might lose money because of an alcohol or drug addiction, you might lose wages because you spend time in jail, and the expense of sin gets more expensive. So I'm saying be careful with your money. There's seven principles that's given that Solomon gave. I think we ought to give to our children. That is this: work hard and be honest. Work hard, be honest. Work hard, be honest. Statement number two: live within your means. Well, I want it and it's going to go off sale, so I'm going to use the credit card. There's always going to be a sale. There's the blue light special, the red light special, the orange light special, the yellow light special, and any other color they want to throw up there. Well, you know, Black Friday. Okay, that'll come next year too. It will. I'm just being honest with you. It will. Well, I've got to buy this piece of clothing because I plan to lose weight. I know I'm going to do it, and so if I buy it, that's more motivation. It's been sitting in your closet for the past 5 years. Hadn't worked. Come on. Live within your means. Don't live outside your means. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to take so-and-so on a double date, a young dating couple says, and I'm going to pay for their way. I was telling a young dating couple that took Mrs. Wells out, treated us to a very nice meal, and I said, look, I thank God for you. That was wonderful. I do. I thank God for you. Treated us special. We went to a steak place. Thank you so much. Very kind. Very kind. Thank you so much. Then we were talking a little bit later, and I said, you know, maybe next time we go to McDonald's or something. The important thing, and I love what they did, I'm not telling them not to take us out for a steak. Matter of fact, let me take back that statement completely. But I said the important thing is we got to spend time with each other. To me, that was worth more than anything in the world, just being able to spend time with two people that we love deeply. So, you know, man, go to McDonald's, go to Burger King. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay? So live within your means. Well, you know, I'm gonna put it on the credit card and I'll make it up. It's hard. And at 17% interest, it's even more difficult. Statement number next, principles for financial integrity from the Bible. Work hard and honestly. Live within your means. Give to God. Give to God. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Give to others. Give to others. Realize money is temporal. Comes and it goes. Goes and it comes. It's temporal. Don't live for it. Use it as a tool. Realize this, that seek to eliminate debt in your life. If you're always living in debt, it limits you from serving Jesus Christ. Get rid of the debt in your life. Instead of buying a car on payments, why not keep driving the old clunker until you can pay cash? Just a thought. Instead of going out buying clothes on your credit card, why don't you wait, save up for it? The sales will always come. Don't be in a hurry. Instead of paying interest, instead of paying $500 for a suit, save up money. Look for the one that goes on sale for $150. Don't pay the interest on that $150 suit that now takes it up to the value of $500 because you paid for it on your credit card. Come on. You ready? don't always go out to eat. Women, learn to cook. Learn to cook. What is that? That's potatoes. But you got it out of a box. Really? I didn't know that potatoes came in a box. Is that really how they grow? Learn to cook. Learn to cook. By the way, it'll save you money. It will. It'll save you money. You keep running out, just buying and buying and buying. You guys that live in the dorms, are you listening to me? You gals that live in the dorms, God bless you. We're glad you're here at Bible College for training. By the way, our boys and girls, our ladies and gentlemen that live in the dorms, we don't supply the food. They have to buy their own food. We're trying to cut down on the expense of them being here. But let me tell you what, it would be better for you to be able to go out and buy your own food and stock it and cook it than it would be traveling to McDonald's, Burger King, and other places to eat out every single week. You ready? Seek to eliminate the debt in your life. Statement number 7, and I'm done. Here it is. View money as a tool, not your master. View money as a tool, not your master. Not your master. You know, I love being able to help people when I have it financially. I love that. Now, I make sure that our obligations are met to God first, to our creditors, as far we owe one bill only, that's on our house. We don't owe on anything else but our house, okay? But I make sure that we're paying that to the house, all right? But then what I do is, given opportunity, I like to be a blessing to people. My wife loves to be a blessing to people. And so we look for ways to be able to be a blessing to people and to help people and to love people. Now, by the way, money is a tool. Money is a tool. I'm excited about the remodel. I want to have a big part simply because I want to see what God is going to do. I have never in my life ever given anything to the Lord that the Lord did not give it back in a huge way. Never. Never in my life. And so I'm excited about digging in and sacrificing just for the sole purpose of seeing, okay, God, this is it. Man, we're stepping out. You've laid it on our heart, and we're going to do it, and we're going to obey, and we're going to go through with it. And God, I just can't wait to be able to tell people, man, this is what God has done. And did you know God does bless in every avenue of life when we put him first? Father, please help us, would you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.